absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Gotta get that. 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 Yo, I got that hit to beat the block. You can get that bass on below. I got that rock and roll, that future flow, that digital spit, next level visual. I got that how to beat bass.
Hello everyone and welcome once again. It's that time again, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Excuse me. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say that again, 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to JT, The Master, and that, you know, is me. Got a great show in store for you today, week 12 in fantasy and in real life football. Playoffs are just right around the corner. Hopefully if I've helped you in getting you to that, or if you've found your way by yourself or whatever in getting you to the playoffs, hopefully if you're listening to this program, I can get you over the top, get you if you're not in the playoffs and you're close to it the next 2 weeks. Normally, most people have leagues that end in the regular season at week 13. The playoffs start week 14, 15, and 16. Very few leagues go to week 17 in real-life football or in fantasy. I'm in a couple of leagues that do that. But for the most part, 14, 15, and 16 are the playoffs. I'm also in one league. Next week starts the playoffs. They have two-week playoff rounds, which quite naturally – next week is week 13. 14 is the first round, and then 15 and 16 is the last round. There's only four teams. You got 12 teams, and four teams make the playoffs. So if you're not in the top four, I think with three divisions in there. So if you're one of the division winners, you're in quite naturally. And then the next best record in this one league gets is the number four seed. So it's only four teams out of 12. That's really competitive. I'm the number one seed right now as we speak. I think I can still seal it, even if I lose this week, to be the number one seed. But it's two rounds, and anything can happen in two rounds. It's not one and done. You got 2 weeks for each round, and you never know. I won this league 2 years ago. This is 2015. I won it in 2013. I'm trying to bring it back home to Jersey. It's in Florida now, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm trying to bring it back home to Jersey. We'll see what happens. I think I got a pretty good shot, but it's a highly competitive league. And you got to be on point each week, just like most leagues. You got to be on point each week. And we'll see what happens. But like I said, for most leagues, the playoff season starts in week 14. So you got 2 weeks. Week 12, week 13, for your last push to get into the playoffs. Otherwise, it's wait until next year. And you don't want those words when it comes to your last week or in the regular season. Wait till next year. Four words you don't want to hear. So hopefully you can get you into the playoffs. Don't care what kind of record you have. I really could care less. And quite naturally, you want the best record you can get. But I would care less on what the record is. It's just a matter of getting into the playoffs. Now, before I get into, into the matchups this week, and we're going to go through all of them, minus three games because Philly played Detroit, Carolina played Dallas, and Chicago played Green Bay on Thanksgiving. So those are already settled. That history is already written. You know about them. Hopefully you benefited from some fantasy points that helps you set that sets you up for today and maybe tomorrow for a win. Some people, some leagues, their trade deadline ended the day after Thanksgiving, which was in, the 27th. Two leagues that the trade deadline is December 2nd. And December 2nd, if I'm not mistaken, is on a Wednesday. It's on a Wednesday. So you get one last ditch effort to make a move. Teams that are in the playoffs trying to shore up their teams and strengthen their teams, teams that are trying to make that push into the playoffs. You got this week. If you haven't made a move in a trade deadline, well, then you're shortchanging your team. And then if you're close and there's a possibility of you jumping into the playoffs at the last minute, you got until December 2nd for those leagues that their trade deadline is December 2nd at, I think, 12 noon. You got to have the trade in place, accept the trade in place to make that last. Now, if you don't do that, if you're sitting there and you don't make a move when you should, shame on you. Then those four words that I said, wait till next year, are going to be heard from you. Wait till next year. Because stubbornness gets you nowhere. Stubbornness gets you nowhere. If you need to make a move, and I keep saying this, if you need to make a move and you got that one stud on your team that can help you strengthen your team in more than one position, it's a no-brainer, in my opinion. It's a no-brainer. You hold on to that one stud. That one stud is that one stud. He may have gotten you to this point, but you're teetering on the edge and you're playing Russian roulette. That stud hasn't gotten you secured in a playoff spot, and you need to make a push, then that stud has got to be expendable. Trust me, that stud's got to be expendable. I've traded away Adrian Peterson and some other pieces, valuable pieces, to strengthen my team. And it's paid off. In the one league, I traded Adrian Peterson. I'm the number one seed right now. Right now, anything can happen. I've strengthened my team and still trying to make moves. I'm not, you're never content, because you can always see a flaw in your team and you're never content. You always try to strengthen your team until the last possible moment. And hopefully your team is set for a playoff run if you're in that position. If not, then you're trying to get into the playoffs. Anything can happen. You're trying to get into the playoffs and you use a chip or two or whatever to make moves. And I've kept on saying this. I've been saying this from the beginning. If you got a stud, I understand the stud. If you have a stud and can afford to pass it on to someone else to help strengthen your team, you got to have some foresight. You got to look at the schedule. You got to look at a lot of things. And not just sit on the stud and think he's going to carry you through. If you've been losing week after week, or you're shaky and real shaky in one position, and you got a stud that you know most people want, or you can see where you can push that stud to get a couple more pieces that will make your team that much stronger, it only makes sense to do that. Otherwise, you're playing Russian roulette on whether you get into the playoffs or not. And the key is to get into the playoffs, regardless of the record, the key is to make it to the playoffs. And if you have a highly competitive league and you have teams that have similar records, including yourself, like I said, you're playing Russian roulette and whether you get into the playoffs or not. That's all I can say. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this, okay? And it has to do with the playoffs and seeding and all that. And there's one league, and a guy called me. I want to talk about this, Lee. I'm in Yahoo League, and this happens to go, the playoffs happen to go to a week 17 is the championship. So the playoffs start the week 15, I'm sorry, week 15. And it's the one-round playoffs, 15, 16, and 17. And it's not hate. Trust me, it's not hate. I'm the number third seed here, okay? What I'm saying is this. I see the two seeds, the two seeds that are above me, one and two. One of them happens to be Vicky, the number two seed. The other guys, I think they're playing each other this week, which is fine because it's a pretty tight league. I'm the number three seed. Now, I told Vic that him and his one and two seed are bogus. And the reason I'm saying this is this. And it's strictly a number game. It's not a hate because I haven't played the number one seed at all this year, and I don't think I will unless I meet him in the playoffs. But I have played Mr. FSP and beaten him. And the reason I'm saying this is this. I gave him one of his two losses. I've scored 1,837 points compared to giving up 1,726 points. Remember those numbers, okay? Given up 1,700. I've had 1,726 points scored against me. The number one seed has scored 1,776 points and has 1,526 points scored against him. Yes, you heard me right. 1,526 points scored against him. That is the second lowest amount of points of any team scored against him. And I've scored more points than the first round team. Fortunately, they played teams that haven't given their best effort, and that's why he's the number one seed right now. Now for Mr. FSP, Victor, and this is a strictly numbers game. He scored 1,710 points, 60 points less than the one seed, and had 1,457 points scored against them. That's the number two seed. Now, understand something. I've had 200 more points scored against me compared to the number one seed, and close to 300 points scored against me more than Mr. FSP, who for all intents and purposes, has had the easiest schedule in the league. He scored 1,710 points. I've scored 1,837 points. So, almost, over 100 points more than Mr. FSP, who has in the number one seed, a number two seed, and 300 points against. So what I told Mr. FSP was this. I said him and his number one seed are bogus for the simple reason they've had the easiest way to go. They've had the least amount of points in the league scored against them and really hasn't scored that many. I mean, they scored 1,700 points, over 1,700 points. But – The number six seed, which is Jersey Hot Rats, had scored 1,900 points and had 1,900 points scored against him. He's had the toughest schedule. I mean, I'm in one division, they're in the other. And I can honestly say, well, quite naturally, everyone else has had more points scored against the number one and number two seed in the league. And the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seed have scored more points than the number one and two seed. I'm telling you. And he's saying that he's winning that league. Quite naturally, the number one team thinks they're winning that league. I'm telling both of them, no, you're not. It's obvious. On average, and I'll bring this out. On average, Mr. FSP, 155 points a week. 155 points a week. And I'll go to the number one seed. On average, FSP scores 155 points a week. The number one seed scores 161 points a week. Okay? I'll go to the number six seed because that's key, because the number six seed is a very dangerous team. They've had 19 points scored against them, the number six seed, but they've had the toughest schedule to go against. They score 174 points a week. Unfortunately, probably, he probably got their best shot when they played him. And he probably was weakened by it, had his worst matchup. I have to say that. 155-161. And me? And I'm not just touting me. I'm just saying. 167 points. So the number one seed scores 161 points. The number two seed scores 155 points. I'm number three. I score 167. The number six seed scores over 170. There's no way these two, number one or number two seed, are going to win. Plain and simple. All right? I just had to get that off my chest because Vic was saying, Mr. FSC is saying a lot of hate. It's not a lot of hate. I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers say that the number one and two are bogus, for lack of a better word, and won't go far into the playoffs. And there's a possibility that they won't be the one and two seed because we have week 12, week 13, and week 14, three more weeks to see who's going to be one through six. I think it's six teams that get into the playoffs. It is what it is. I'm just laying it out there. It's not hate because I've won the last five games. So it's not really hate. I could care less. I'm just stating what I see. Anyway, all right, people, let's get to this week. Week 12, crucial week. You got two more weeks from most teams, like I said, to get into the playoffs. We got a little more than an hour, about an hour and 10 minutes to get through all these teams. We're talking about 14 teams, 14 games, I should say. A lot of games, an hour and 10 minutes. I think we can do it. All right. For the first matchup, let's go to Reliance Stadium in Texas. Yes, I'm talking about my Houston Texans going up against that powerhouse who's coming off a bye and feeling pretty good about themselves. Feeling pretty good about themselves is the Houston Texans, who are on a three-game winning streak. They're at 5-5 playing home against a team that's coming off a bye. The 4-6 Saints, who have lost their last two games, they dumped their defensive coordinator. Quite naturally, the Saints are pretty bad in their defense, pass defense, run defense. Overall, their defense is pretty shaky. And A lot of people are jumping on the Brian Hoyer bandwagon because the Saints give up a lot of points to the quarterback position. That defense, I don't know how much better it's going to be with the new defensive coordinator. They had a week to try to write things. They're playing in Houston, and Houston does play well. That's my team. I know my team pretty well. They play well in Houston. But it's Drew Brees. So I'm figuring Drew Brees is going to throw for almost 300 yards, probably a couple touchdowns. Brandon Cooks has come back to life, so you're definitely going to play Brandon Cooks. I still like Willie Snead. I know he put up a VAT zero in week 10, but he was dealing with a physical issue. Hopefully that issue has been resolved or gotten better over the week that they've had a bye. And I like the pieces in New Orleans. Houston is 16th in preventing fantasy points against the running quarterback position, 21st against the running back, and 11th in the wide receiver and tight end position. So, you Ben Watson fans, Drew Brees likes throwing to the tight end. I would temper my expectations on how much Ben Watson gets targeted, but he will get targeted and he will catch passes. And Drew Brees likes throwing to him in the red zone. So, unfortunately, against my team, I'm calling for Ben Watson to have a touchdown in this game. I'm calling for Brandon Cooks to also be able to get a big splash play and get a nice touchdown pass and get some nice yardage, about 5 or 6 catches, 70, 80 yards, somewhere around there. I know a lot of so-called experts are calling for the New Orleans Saints to win this game. I don't pick winners and losers in this. I just pick fantasy and the things that can happen in this. Like I said, New Orleans is dead last preventing fantasy points in the quarterback position. Brian Hoyer has been on a hot streak, next to last in preventing fantasy points in a running back position. I'm not real high on Alfred Blue, but I do believe he can be a viable flex here. The last rushing score was by Arian Foster in week 7. Blue can catch passes out of the backfield. And this is it's still trying to be a running back based offense, but Brian Hoyer in this matchup is a certified 100% play in here against a piss poor. And I can't believe that they're going to instantly turn around in 1 week. New Orleans Saints defense. So Brian Hoyer, if you are missing a quarterback and you don't know which way to turn, a lot of people have you lost Joe Flacco if you were playing Joe Flacco. Brian Hoyer is an excellent pickup to play. How about in the Nuke? You know who Nuke is? Nuke, I should say. Is DeAndre Hopkins, who's absolutely been balling out, one of the best targets in the NFL and in fantasy, top one or two, depending on your scoring system, in wide receiver position in fantasy. I see him getting close to double-digit catches in here. Targets are going to be all off the roof. I think he's one of the most targeted wide receivers, if not the most targeted wide receiver in the NFL. So I expect him to get a touchdown or two in here. And believe it or not, the other option in here, and I think he's a viable play, wide receiver 2, if you have no other options, wide receiver 3, maybe in the flex, because they're going to be throwing a ball against the New Orleans Saints. There's a possibility that you're going to need to be throwing the ball more. due to having to play catch up against this New Orleans Saints, even though they don't play that well on the road. New Orleans Saints is 1-4 on the road, and the Texans are 3-2 at home. So they're coming off a bye, so they've healed up a little bit. They've got straightened a few things out, and I can't believe they straightened up the defense that much more. I like all these characters going forward. It's in the dome. You don't have to worry about any weather issues, and you go on from there. All right, let's move on to the next matchup would be the Rams versus the Bengals. A very bad Rams offense highlighted with Todd Gurley. Case Keenum still going through concussion protocol. So Nick Foles is back in the saddle as a quarterback. Greg Zuerlein was limited in Friday's practice. It's not questionable since he got a pulled groin. So kick him. I wouldn't say kick him to the curb, but you got to replace your kicker. And believe it or not, some matchups are determined on the kicker, whether he has a good day or a bad day. So don't discount getting a decent kicker in place. Cairo Santos, Josh Lambeau, Chandler Cannizzaro, quite naturally, Steven Gostkowski is probably taken. I'm taking Mike Nugent in this matchup. It may be a good alternative for you. One guy I like in this, absolutely. And they're going to stack the box quite naturally because that's their main weapon. And that's Todd Gurley. But I still like Todd Gurley as a number one option here. I think he's they're going to push Todd Gurley. He's an extremely good talent, and you can't sit him. So you got to play Todd Gurley. I also like on the other side, Andy Dalton. You know what? I don't like Andy Dalton. There's only two guys I really like in here, and one of them is Tyler Eifert, who happens to be the BFF for Andy Dalton. When all else fails, Tyler Eifert, as long as he can get over his drops, he's lately been dropping the ball a lot, but he gets targeted a lot. Tyler Eifert is definitely an option here. Now, PPR is probably the only way I would play AJ Green against this defense that is number three in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. I'm sorry, number two in preventing fantasy points in the quarterback position. And about middle of the pack in preventing fantasy points, and I'm talking about St. Louis, in the running back position. And 19th and 17th. 19th in the tight end and 17th in the running back preventing fantasy points. I'm talking about St. Louis. So they can be run on, and the tight end position is a vulnerable position that St. Louis gives up points to. So that's why I'm saying play Tyler Eifert. And if I had one guy to play, Jeremy Hill is a goal line back for the most part. He's very much touchdown dependent. And I'm saying that because they're playing home. I'm saying that Cincinnati will be able to move the ball. And if you're in PPR, Giovanni Bernard is a good play because he's gonna run the ball sparingly in this offense. He's mainly going to be used in the passing attack, and he's very good running back coming out of the backfield catching the football. So I expect him to get double digits, probably be 12, 13 points somewhere around that, which is a good flex and a low end RB2 somewhere around there in PPR. Jeremy Hill, you're flipping the coin and rolling the dice whether he gets in, a shot in red zone. More likely than not, he will. There's no guarantee that he will get into the end zone. He may get the opportunities, but there's no guarantee that he's getting into the end zone. And you're playing with this week. If you need it, you're desperate, you don't have any other options, then quite naturally you play him. If you do have other options, go that route. Trust me, go that route. I've moved on from Jeremy Hill. All right, let's move on to the next matchup, which would be and this is inside of a dome. Right now, so we haven't gotten to any inclement weather yet. And this is inside of a dome. It's the Vikings versus the Falcons. Falcons are absolutely killing themselves with turnovers. Matt Ryan, I don't know what's going on. Devontae Freeman and Leonard Hankerson are officially out. Matt Ryan is also out because they've I think he's got a pulled groin, if I'm not mistaken. Talking about Matt Ryan, one of the most reliable kickers in the NFL. Shane Graham is going to kick this week. Let's start this way. We'll start on the Minnesota Vikings and this run-based offense. North Turner, use Adrian Peterson. Use Adrian Peterson. He had a three-game streak of 100-yard games, but last week, he only had 13 carries for 45 yards, and he had he did have a touchdown. The Packers were winning for most part of this game, so they had to go to a passing game to try to catch up, and that affected. But in this matchup against the Atlanta, who their best, one of their worst defense weaknesses is preventing fantasy points against the running back position, which is 27th, and against the tight end position, which is 26th. So what's that telling you? I would think that a defensive minded coach with a talent as Adrian Peterson going up against a team that their weakness is defending against the run and defending against the tight end position, that Adrian Peterson and Kyle Rudolph should have a very good day. And that's why I'm saying that you're going to play Adrian Peterson anyway. But Kyle Rudolph is a play, especially in a North Turner offense who likes using the running back and the tight end. This is a perfect storm. How could you not use Kyle Rudolph? You're looking for an option, and you're missing a viable tight end. How could you not, use Kyle Rudolph in this spot? Stephon Diggs has cooled off quite a bit. He was held under 50 yards with no score in weeks 9 and 10. And even at home, which was last week, he still only managed 6 receptions for 66 yards. Now, that's decent in PPR. Standard, he only gets 6 points, but that's decent in PPR. I used him as a flex, got 12 points out of him, which is fine. I used him as a wide receiver, too, if I'm not mistaken. As a flex last week. And I got 12 points out of him, which is decent for a flex. And against Atlanta, who is number 2 in preventing fantasy points in the wide receiver position, if you have an alternative, defenses are not surprised by this rookie anymore, and they know how to defend him. So, or have an idea how to defend him. I expect the same to happen here. So temper your expectations if you have no other choice but to play Stephon Diggs. I don't think he gets double digits, 8, 9. If at the very least he gets 10 points in this, I would expect that. Depending on how things go, this is a pretty good defense that Atlanta has to go up against. If things get out of control, then Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to throw the ball a lot. But I think they're going to try to control the clock and use Adrian Peterson extensively to try to keep it away from that offense in Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. But I expect Julio Jones to be balling out here. He's getting double digits, close to double digit catches. He's going to get high target rate. There's no two ways about it. One of the top three wide receivers in the NFL, absolutely. I think he's going to get close to 100 yards and a touchdown. Now, Minnesota, believe it or not, is top 10 in preventing fantasy points in the quarterback, running back, and wide receiver position. But Tevin Coleman is taking his place of Devontae Freeman, who's still dealing with concussion protocol. So you have to temper your expectations of Tevin Coleman. I know a defensive-minded head coach in Atlanta is going to want to run the football first, like they were doing with Devontae Freeman, and then make play-action plays down the field with Julio Jones and company. Leonard Hankerson's out, so he won't be playing. You got a combination of Roddy White and Justin Hardy on the other side. But Jacob Tammy is another viable option, even though that the Minnesota, for historically, has been a weak defense against the tight end position. So, Jacob Tammy, who Matt Ryan likes thrown to, I can expect to get decent tight end points from him. I'm not saying he's a tight end one, but he's definitely in the conversation of getting double-digit points from the tight end position. So, he's a viable play here. I like him a lot. Like I said, Shane Graham with the offense that Atlanta has, I expect them to move the football within field goal range consistently through this game. And even if they don't get into the end zone, being able to be in a position to be able to kick some field goals. So I'm thinking they'll be in a kicking field goals in here and Shane Graham would be a good viable play along with Blair Walsh on the other side because both these offenses do have flaws and can stall at times, but their kickers are decent kickers. Shane Graham taking the place of Matt Bryant, Blair Walsh being a consistent kicker, and this is in the dome, ideal conditions. You can't get any better than this, ideal conditions, and you want to be able to take advantage of getting fantasy points regardless of where it's at, and this is in the kicker position fantasy. All right, let's move on to the next game, to the next matchup, and this is going to be in Washington, D.C., where the division-leading NFC East New York Giants are playing against the second place team in the NFC East, believe it or not, Washington Redskins. This matchup can determine or help determine going forward who wins the NFC East. It's supposed to be about 48 degrees, overcast, and let's look into this matchup with Eli and the company coming off a bye, going down to D.C. to face Kirk Cousins-led Washington Redskins. Let's get to this. Okay. All right. Anytime Kirk Cousins throws an interception, the Washington Redskins lose. J- just get that and understand that. The last time the Giants played the Redskins, which is in week three, the Giants won it 32-21. Quite naturally, I was at home. Giants are 5-5, like I said, atop the NFC East. The Eagles are 4-6. And that has nothing to do with the Washington Redskins are 4-6, I should say. Eli Manning, in my opinion, is a very good play here. In week three, Eli Manning threw 279 yards and two touchdowns. When last time they played the Redskins, and that was at home. Redskins are a team that about middle of the pack in preventing fantasy points in the quarterback and running back position. Their best attribute on defense is preventing fantasy points in the tight end position. The wide receiver position, unfortunately, for the Washington Redskins is their weakest part of their defense. That means that Reuben Randall, Dwayne Harris, and last but not least, Odell Beckham should have very good days here. I'm calling for Reuben Randall and Odell Beckham to be able to visit the Washington Redskins end zone with some touchdowns. Odell getting the century mark. Reuben getting about half a century. These guys take 5 or 6 catches respectively. I'm not expecting too much from the running game, okay? I'm really not. I'd be surprised if they get double digits here. 8 or 9 points, and that's in PPR that I think Shane Vereen or Rashad Jennings get. It's a mismatch of who's going to be the better of the running backs in the Giants to on any given Sunday. And on the other side, Kirk Cousins, like I said, he threw the interception. 9 times out of 10, the Washington Redskins lose. He threw for 316 and a touchdown in the last time they met in week three, like I said. He's had one touchdown pass in all but 2 games. But he does have more weapons than he did in the first meeting, which is week three, that the Giants had. And he's facing one of the weakest defenses in the NFL. In the Giants. Because the Giants, believe it or not, even though they're 5-5, the Giants are 31st in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position, 22 and 21 respectively in preventing fantasy points in the running back and wide receiver position, and 31st, one of the worst teams in preventing points against the tight end position. So what's that say? That says to me that Kirk Cousins, even though I'm not going to try to tell you what the score is going to be, should be able to, I wouldn't say pass at will, but have a good passing day. And passing to Jordan Reed, who happens to be a very athletic tight end and dealing with an MCL, but it hasn't bothered him that much that he can't be a viable fantasy option. It should have a good day. I would think that the wide receiver position now, depending on who you have, Jameson Crowder has been targeted quite a bit, and so has Pierre Garçon. DeSean Jackson is a big splash wide receiver. Prince Amukamara is supposed to be coming back, so it's supposed to help the defensive back position on the Giants. But I think they still, meaning the Redskins, can still be a viable fantasy point getter from the wide receiver position. The guys I would play would be Pierre Garçon and Jameson Crowder, because I think those are going to benefit more from the wide receiver position, and Chris Thompson. I know Alfred Morris is supposed to be back. I know Matt Jones, just like the Giants, in their mismatch of running backs. Washington is dealing with the same thing. And if I had to deal with a running back from the Washington Redskins, it wouldn't be Matt Jones. It wouldn't be Alfred Morris. It would be Chris Thompson, because especially if it's in PPR, he's going to be target early and often. He's a great pass catcher out of the backfield, and I think he's going to get a shot to catch the football out of the backfield and be a viable option to get into the end zone also. So that's how I see it. All right, let's move on to the next option here, and that would be the Buffalo Bills going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, where it's going to be a nice, crisp 35 degrees and rainy in Kansas City. Buffalo's going there on their run-based defense. Their run-based offense, along with Kansas City, who's a running back-based offense also. I'm expecting this game to be a very physical game. Both defenses have been playing relatively well. Kansas City more than the Buffalo Bills. Kansas City's at home. Charcandrick West is not playing. He's out. So take him out of your lineup. If you happen to have gotten Spencer Ware, put him in your lineup. I think the scheme of this offense is conducive to a running back that's got some ability. I would think this. They had Jamaal Charles, quite naturally. He went down with an ACL. And in comes Charcandrick West, who's been a very good backup option and a viable running back. He gets hurt with a hamstring. In comes Spencer Ware, who last week ran 11 times, had 11 carries for 96 yards and two touchdowns. And I think regardless of this defense of the Buffalo Bills, who's 13th in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position, 18th in doing the same against the running back, and 22nd in doing that against the wide receiver position. So Kansas City runs the football. Spencer Ware can run the football and also catch it out of the backfield. So I think he's going to be a viable option with a little sprinkle of Niall Davis, who was inactive last week, to be a change of pace, just like he was at one point with Jamaal Charles. So I think it's going to be the Spencer Ware show, and I think he's going to be able to perform admirably in here. 60, 70 yards, like I said, in this run-based offense, running back-based offense, I should say, to catch a few passes out of the backfield. And I'm calling for a tempered expectation from Travis Kelce, because Buffalo is number sixth in preventing fantasy points against the tight end position. They defend the linebackers and safety defend well against the tight end position. So temper your expectations. You got to play them. You got to play him because Travis Kelce is a number one tight end. Hopefully he'll be able to catch the football. He's had dropped these in the last few weeks, but hopefully he'll be able to catch the football. And I'm not feeling Jeremy Maclin in this matchup also. But him and Albert Wilson are two targets that Alex Smith, who I'm not too happy about, playing or would play. I wouldn't play him in there because Alex Smith is not a stretch the field type of quarterback, safe throws. So the two guys I may play in here is you got to play. I would play Spencer Ware. Running back's position is really tough, and if you got a viable running back that's going to be a volume type running back, you got to play him, and that's Spencer Ware. And someone that the quarterback likes throwing to, and that would be Travis Kelce. I would temper my expectations and Jeremy Maclin, being that this defense doesn't defend well against the running wide receiver, but we're talking about the quarterback and the pass rush of the Buffalo Bills and the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think he's going to get the football out of his hand quick, and that's going to the running back or the tight end. All right, let's move to the Buffalo Bills. And the Buffalo Bills up against a Kansas City defense that's eighth and number 33 against the preventing fantasy points against the quarterback and running back position respectively, and number one in preventing fantasy points against the tight end position. Got Phillip Rivers last week. If you saw Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates absolutely going at each other, the reason for that. Kansas City is number one in preventing fantasy points against the tight end position. They got very athletic players that can defend against the tight end, and it showed against the San Diego Chargers, who couldn't do anything in the tight end position last week. No weakness. They can be thrown on. Meaning, when I say thrown on, they can be thrown on through to the wide receivers. They're 32. They're number 32, 32nd in preventing fantasy points against the wide receiver position. Unfortunately, or fortunately, you got Chris Hogan and Sammy Watkins. And you know they're probably going to target Sammy Watkins extensively, but I would play Sammy Watkins in here as a flex, not a wide receiver one or a two, and Chris Hogan as a flex. You got to play LeSean McCoy. I know this is a tough defense against the run. Both of these defenses are, but you got to play LeSean McCoy. He can catch it out of the backfield, and he's a very good runner. So he's a dual threat, especially in PPR. He's a dual threat, and you got to play LeSean McCoy. Carlos Williams, he's a wild card in here. And I would be, especially against this defense, wouldn't be a too confident of person, especially in these coming weeks before the playoffs, if you're fighting to put a Carlos Williams in there and happen to come up with one or two, three, 4 points, not a really an effective outlay of points for you in a position that you need, and whether it's a two, which I kind of doubt you're going to put Carlos Williams in, or a flex. And you're expecting more from that, and with wins being crucial coming down the stretch before you get to the playoffs. So I wouldn't play him. Tyrod Taylor is not a good play for me either in here. Let's move on to the next matchup, which is going to take place in Tennessee, the Oakland Raiders versus the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be in low 60s, overcast. Tennessee Titans is going to need this one in the worst way. Oakland coming off a loss last week, and they've lost their last three games. They're quite naturally, you know, they're 4-6, 2-3 on the road. The 2-8 Titans have lost their last two games and are just 2-4 at home. It's hard to think about what team is going to win this, and I'm not talking about winning and losers here. Because of these defenses and some limitations on the offense, Derek Carr is much improved this year, and he's already passed for 21 touchdowns, but he was held with no score in Detroit. He was on a three-game streak of 300-plus yards with at least three scores in each. The Tennessee Titans are surprisingly decent defense, especially at home. They're 17th in preventing fantasy points. That's middle of the pack. But they're 17th in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position, 13th in doing the same thing in the wide receiver position, number 4 in preventing points against the running back position, and 27th. They have a weakness against the tight end position. So what's that telling you? temper your expectations on Derek Carr, but I do expect him to throw for a couple of touchdowns in this mid-200 range, about 250, 260. Really temper your expectations. I would put him in the flex. I wouldn't even decide or think about putting him in the running back one or two. Definitely not in the running back one. Low end running back two, more likely a flex position, because he runs the ball more than he catches the ball out of the backfield. I'm talking about Latavius Murray. I'm thinking that the way to attack the Tennessee offense is what the Oakland Raiders do best, and that's to pass the football. Michael Crabtree has shown the rookie and Amari Cooper, but both of these guys are viable plays for me. Crabtree, a wide receiver two. Amari Cooper, a flex or a wide receiver three. And the ever-present, and I always like playing this guy because he's got a big foot, and I think he'll benefit from a stalled offense against this Tennessee Titan defense, and that's Sebastian Janikowski. Always a viable threat. And on the other side, Marcus Mariota has now gone two games without a passing touchdown. But he's been running the football more. Now, the two best games have both happened on the road. Okay. At home, like I said, they're 2-4. They've only won two games. So, I'm saying that against this defense, who is Oakland's 26th in preventing fantasy points against the running, quarterback position, 23rd on the running back position, 15th in the wide receiver, and 29th against the tight end position in preventing fantasy points. So the quarterback, running back, and tight end of Tennessee should be viable plays in here. If you're looking for a quarterback, for whatever reason that you don't have a viable quarterback in this matchup, I think Marcus Mariota would be a viable option in the quarterback position. I see him and his conservative ways being able to take care of the football, going for about mid-200 yards and a couple touchdowns. I'm not looking for too much from the running back position, Antonio Andrews, but the Kendall Wright is back, who Marcus Mariota had a really good rapport with, and I see him jumping right back into the fray, catching about four or five catches, about 50 to 60 yards, and a visit in the end zone, just like Delanie Walker, who's a young quarterback's best friend from the tight end position, who's been a volume catcher. He topped the receptions last year, and he's on his way to doing it this year for the team. So I see him getting quite a few targets in about 6 to 7 catches, 60, 70, 80 yards, somewhere in that, and also a visit into the end zone. And against this Oakland defense, I'm saying that the Tennessee Titans should have some stalled drives. And Ryan Succop is a very accurate kicker, and I see him getting at least a couple field goals along with some extra points in here and being a viable play from the kicking position. All right, let's move on to the next one. And I'm talking about here is the Chargers visiting the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are surprisingly one game out of first place in the AFC South. Yeah, you heard me right. One game out from the AFC South. And I think I missed one game, but I'll come back to it. In fact, I know I did. I'll come back to it. Um, Chargers are absolutely the worst, one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, in preventing fantasy points against the running back position. They're 32nd. They're 32nd in preventing fantasy points in the running back position. What they do best is preventing fantasy points, which they're number 10 and number in against the quarterback, and number 7th in wide receiver position in preventing fantasy points. But against the run, they're absolutely horrible. So what's that telling you? Today is T.J. Yeldon day. Early and often, T.J. Yeldon should be used. This kid, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's got the second most rushing yardage behind Todd Gurley. So this kid's balling out, and even with the nagging injuries that he's had, should have a very good day today. Play T.J. Yeldon. Play two Allens, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. As long as Allen Hurns is healthy, you play him. No two ways about it. You play him. I don't care. These two guys have been balling out, and I expect them to do that at home. I expect them to do that at home. I expect them to I expect them to have very good days. I expect them to have six or seven catches, 70, 80 yards, somewhere around there, and a visit into the end zone. Allen Robinson more so than Allen Hurns. His streak was broken last week on scoring a touchdown. First time in 8 weeks that he hadn't scored a touchdown last week. He's been nursing some nagging injuries, but I expect him to play. And both these guys, Hurns is a good flex position. Allen Robinson is a wide receiver one. Low-end wide receiver one, high-end wide receiver two. I expect the tight end position to be affected by this because San Diego, like I said, is 22nd. In preventing fantasy points in the tight end position. They are another team that's historically the defenses have been weak against the tight end position, and I expect Julius Thomas, who's been getting better every week, to be a viable option and to be able to get a visit into the end zone this week. Blake Bortles had a bad game in Week 10. He would be a viable play here. Now, if it was on the road, that'd be a different story, but he's home. And I think he's going to be a very good play at home against this San Diego defense, even though they're top 10 in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position. Now, on the other side, Philip Rivers and company, I don't know what's going on with them. They were absolutely horrible against Kansas City last week. Arguing on the sidelines, two guys that have been stalwarts in fantasy and pretty close, I would think, in real life, were going back and forth with each other. Because of I'm talking about Antonio Gates and Philip Rivers. I'm not saying this is a get right game, but I'm saying that I see Antonio Gates getting targeted here and getting some good work done. I imagine that he's probably feeling a little bit better because he wasn't played that much last week. That he's going to get more work this week, especially what happened last week. With this defense, Jacksonville, who's 23rd against the tight end position, 12th against the wide receiver position, 20th against the running back position, and 25th against the quarterback position, preventing fantasy points. There's going to be a lot of fantasy goodness in here. meaning that Danny Woodhead should be able to get double digits in here. He was very quiet last week. That I don't think that's going to happen. I would think Dontrell Inman is going to be a surprise. Yes, I said Dontrell Inman. They had a very bad showing last week in dropping footballs and not being too reliable for Phillip Rivers. I think these guys had a decent week at practice, and that the guys in the pass catchers, meaning Dontrell Inman, Stevie Johnson, Antonio Gates, and Danny Woodhead are going to be used early and often and are viable plays, respectively. Stevie Johnson, a wide receiver, too, and probably the main option for Phillip Rivers because Malcolm Floyd's still not right. He may play in this game, but I wouldn't trust him. Stevie Johnson, I would trust more. Antonio Gates, a stalwart in the San Diego offense, and I do believe that Phillip Rivers is going to try to get him the football, not just because Antonio Gates screamed and jumped up and down and threw a fit last week, but because he can help the football team move down the field and score. He's still a viable threat. And Phillip Rivers, I'm not saying he's going to have 300 yards and 5 touchdowns, but I do believe he's going to be able to get that close to that 300 mark and a couple touchdown passes. I like his odds, even though it's on the road, and they don't play that well on the road at times. I think they can do it here. They Chargers won against the Jaguars, but the Jaguars came to San Diego, not the other way around. So the Chargers are on a 6-game losing streak. They are 0-4 in road games. I'm not talking about winning and losing. I'm talking about fantasy points. And they're going to be missing two of their starting offensive linemen. I'll tell you that right now. So, but I still like the fantasy players for San Diego that I spoke about. All right, let's move on to a game I missed, but I'm coming back to it right now. I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston, who threw last week for 5 touchdowns against the 40-year-old quarterback in Matt Hasselbeck in Indianapolis, Buccaneers versus the Colts. Let's talk about this for a minute. Tampa Bay. Jameis Winston has been balling out. Austin Seferian Jenkins, again, is now not expected to play. And if he does, he's going to be a viable option. But temper your expectations. First week out, most guys don't ball out. It's an exception when they do. But I do like Jameis against this defense of Indianapolis, who are 28th, 25th, 26th, and 20th against preventing fantasy points. Now, list them just like I named them off. Quarterback, running back, and wide receiver and tight end position. The lowest they are is 20th. The highest they are, I should say, is 20th. The lowest is 28th. So I'm thinking that Tampa Bay should be able to move the football on the ground and through the air. And they got two big boys on the outside, on either side of their formation. That means Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. And Jameis Winston was on fire last week, like I said, with 5 touchdowns. And I expect him to play well against this Indianapolis defense that is not a strong defense at all. So I'm expecting both these guys, Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, even though Mike Evans may have more catches and yardage than Vincent Jackson, both visit the end zone and both be able to put up very good fantasy points in your lineups. So if you either have Vincent Jackson or Mike Evans, be sure to get him in to your lineup. Without a doubt, Mike Evans is a wide receiver 1. Vincent Jackson can be a wide receiver 2. Or a flex option in this this week because of what defense they're going up against. And because they're going to be able to move the football, and I always like to include this, the kicker, Connor Barth, who I like in this matchup because the fact is they'll be able to move the football and in inside of a dome in Indianapolis, and even if they don't visit the end zone, close enough for Connor Barth to be able to kick multiple field goals. Multiple points, I mean multiple field goals, adds up quickly from the kicking position. And I'm saying to you that if you're looking for a kicker and an offense that's going to be able to move the football and get within field goal range consistently in this week, Tampa Bay in Indianapolis is one of them. Quite naturally, on the other side, I'm talking about Matt Hasselbeck, the 40-year-old quarterback. I like Matt Hasselbeck in this game. I think they can move the football against this defense in Tampa Bay. They're home. Now, we got Tampa Bay. I know they're 5-5. but they're on the road against a pass-first defense. I mean, pass-first offense. And Tampa Bay, and I'm going to name them from quarterback to tight end, in preventing fantasy points, and I'm going that order, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end, 23rd, 15th, 20th, and 16th in preventing fantasy points against those respective positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. That means they can, and when I say they, I'm saying Indianapolis can move the football against those positions. And I'm thinking quarterback position, Wiley, old veteran. I know he threw for two interceptions in Atlanta, and he did that in the last time he started in Week 5 in Houston. But for the most part, he takes care of the football. The new quarterback, the new offensive coordinator, seems to have revitalized this offense. I'm looking for Kobe Fleener and Dante Moncrief to be visited the end zone. I'm looking for T.Y. Hilton to be the PPR guy here. I think he gets multiple targets equating to about 5 or 6 catches, 60, 70, maybe 80 yards in there, and possibly into the end zone. But I like Moncrief and I like Fleener to make a visit into the end zone. And like I keep on saying, I'm going to keep on emphasizing this because it's important as you get closer and closer to the playoffs and including the playoffs, games are going to be closer for the most part. Quite naturally, you're going to get some blowouts, but as people improve their lineups and their matchups will get closer and closer. So you're trying to get as many fantasy points from as many positions as you like. The kicking position. It's crucial. Most people, they get at least 2 points. The majority of them probably get 3 points for every field goal, regardless. I wouldn't say regardless, but depending on the range of and the points associated with that range of the field goal kicks made. So Adam Vinatieri, playing at home, clutch kicker. With an offense that's going to quite naturally move the ball against a not-too-stout defense inside. It's in the dome. And like I said, he's one of the oldest kickers and one of the most reliable kickers in all of football. He's going to be able to kick some field goals in here, 2 or 3 field goals, 3 field goals at an average of 3 points. That's 9 points. That's 9 points. That's just counting extra points. Extra points, quite naturally, is a point apiece. So you're talking about double digits. So there's a strong possibility Adam Vinatieri gets double-digit points. How often does that happen for a kicker? So I'm saying pay attention to every position. Don't just throw any kicker in there and expect to get decent points. Pay attention to kickers. And this is one of these kickers that you need to pay attention to. And Adam Vinatieri at home against the offense that's going to be able to move the football on the opposing defense. And even if, like I said, even if they stall and don't get into the end zone, they're going to be in position to kick field goals. The kicker, that's one of the kickers that you want to be able to do that. All right. Let's move on to the next matchup. Now, let me see. We have how many more matchups we got here? We have five more matchups in about 13 minutes, so hopefully we can get through these. All right, the next one is the Dolphins versus the Jets. It's going to be in the mid-40s, clear, in MetLife Stadium. Dolphins need this very badly. The Jets are dealing with a two-game losing streak. Jarvis Landry is expected to play. He's dealing with a knee issue. The Dolphins have lost, quite naturally, you know they lost their head coach. They ended a Cowboys game, seven-game losing streak. They lost to the Cowboys last week. The Jets have lost their last two, but the Dolphins have already lost to the Jets have already lost to the Bills and the Pats and are playing the Jets now. I don't expect too much from Ryan Tannehill and the Dolphins today. The Jets, I'm going to name these down, starting from the quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end position, respectively. The Jets in preventing fantasy points on 12th, 6th, 17th, and 4th. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Quite naturally, they defend against the running back and tight end position the best, and are top 15 in quarterback and preventing fantasy points. And as quarterback, that means I don't think Tannehill is going to be doing much. Their weakness is against the wide receiver position. And guess what? Revis Island is out. He's still going through concussion protocol. So I expect the wide receivers to run fantasy free here. Yeah, I expect the wide receivers, especially if Jarvis Landry is healthy enough to play, to be have a very good day today. Quite naturally, you have Rashard Matthews and Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills had 581 yards and a touchdown last time the Jets saw the Miami Dolphins. So I expect Ryan Tannehill to have his best option is to throw the football. Jay Ajayi and Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller's been catching the football more out of the backfield along with running it. Jets are vulnerable with running backs who are involved in the pass-catching game. And I think that's where Lamar Miller is going to rack up his points, catching the football out of the backfield. Quite naturally, Ryan Tannehill likes the short passing game. Lamar Miller is a viable option. Along with Kenny Stills, Rashard Matthews, and Jarvis Landry. PPR, these guys are going to be peppered with short passes. Run after a catch is going to be key for Landry, Matthews, and Stills. Jordan Cameron, for some reason, I mean, he was a baller when he was healthy with Cleveland. He's an afterthought. An afterthought in Miami. Why? I don't know. To me, I thought he would be a perfect fit for Ryan Tannehill, but it hasn't worked out, and I don't think it will. On the other side, let's talk about the Jets. I'm not a big Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, never have been, even when he was with the Houston Texans, and I'm still not a big fan of him. He only passed for 218 yards and a pass and a touchdown the last time they met the Dolphins, even though they won the game. He's been good for 2 scores in most games, though, but he's been picked off He's had two interceptions in each game, and he's never failed to throw at least two touchdowns in every home game. So I'm thinking he's going to throw two touchdowns. And who are they going to throw to? Well, who else? Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall, quite naturally, the wide receiver one. Eric Decker is not too far behind. These guys have been extremely consistent in the wide receiver position, and they have a very good rapport with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm not a big proponent of Ryan Fitzpatrick, but going against this defense of Miami, who are middle of the pack in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end position, and 30th against preventing points against the running back position, I'm thinking his offense. excuse me. Should be able to move the football effectively. I see Chris Ivory getting close to the century mark here, and with a couple catches out of the backfield, viable running back two against this Miami defense for Decker and Marshall. There'd be about five or six catches somewhere around there, 70 to 80 yards apiece with a visit into the end zone. And that's how I see that. All right, let's move on to the Cardinals and the 49ers, which should be a I really don't have to tell you to start Carson Palmer in here. I mean, come on. I've been telling you about this guy before the season started, and he has not disappointed. Top one, two, or three, depending on the rankings. I see him throwing for 300 yards here. He did it a little over 300 yards the third week of the season against the 49ers in Arizona. Now the Cardinals are going to visit their division rival in San Francisco with not too many viable options in the offensive side of the ball. I'm talking about San Francisco. So I'm seeing Carson throwing for 303 touchdowns. I see David Johnson catching the back out of the backfield like he did last week with about 40 to 50 yards. And I think he may catch a pass out in the end zone. Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd is supposed to be coming back. I don't know how, you know, you're flipping the coin with Michael Floyd. Let me put it that way. He was set out last week along with John Brown. J.J. Nelson filled in quite admirably with a couple of touchdowns. He broke out, J.J. Nelson. Pay attention to – it's a later game, so pay attention to the injury report. And the only reliable – option I see here. I can't say J.J. Nelson or John Brown or Michael Floyd are going to be real reliable. All reliable is Larry Fitzgerald. You're taking a shot with Michael Floyd. Supposedly he's going to play. And then he would be a viable play because he's been balling out the last times he was in there. He was like I said, he was held out last week because of his hamstring and he never practiced. But I guess they keep track of him. I like Michael Floyd in this matchup. San Francisco is horrible against the running wide receiver, running back, and quarterback position. They're in the bottom quarter of that, which makes this a lopsided game, in my opinion. But this is a division game, so you never know what's going to happen here. But I do like the options of Carson Palmer, David Johnson. None of these guys should be on your waiver wire. John Brown, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, and with an outside chance, of J.J. Nelson. And also Chandler Cannizzaro. This offense moves the football very effectively. Even against bad matchups, they move the football and put the field goal kicker in position to be able to kick some viable field goal kickers. So, if Chandler Cannizzaro, and he shouldn't be sitting on your waiver wire, you grab him up because I think he's a good matchup this week. On the other side of the ball, the San Francisco 49ers, believe it or not, even though his statistics haven't shown, Blaine Gabbert has been playing pretty well. And they're playing at home. They're going to try to run the football with Sean Drone because Carlos Hyde is out. And I think Sean Drone is involved in the running and especially in the passing game. He's a viable running back too, in my opinion here. Yes. Even though the San Francisco 49ers may not be racking up wins, Sean Drone is a viable matchup here, a viable play here. Running back too, and definitely in the flex position because I think he's going to get mid-double-digit fantasy points. Mid-double-digit fantasy points. That's like 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there. I see him getting that type of fantasy points. Arizona is in the top 15 in preventing fantasy points in all skill positions. Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. But I do like Sean Drone. I definitely like him. Blaine Gabbert's got to throw to somebody. That accumulates to a lot of points and if it's into the end zone, so be it. I can't pick it, and I wouldn't even try. I mean, you could put Anquan Boldin in there because you figure he's going to throw to that. That's his most reliable target other than the tight end, and you don't know what tight end is going to be the most reliable, whether it's going to be Celek or Vance McDonald. It could be either one, so I wouldn't give you a viable option of those two guys. All right, let's move on. We're going to be got a little bit more than 2 minutes left, and we have three more options. Now, this game here is going to be a very interesting game. It's going to be played in Seattle. The Legion of Boom versus the high-powered offense coming off a bye in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't pick winners or losers. I just picked fantasy. I can't emphasize that more. You're going to get a high-powered offense versus a bona fide defense, but I think this defense is not what it used to be. And I emphasize that this team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though they're going from east to west coast, is still a high-powered offense and coming off a bye. I like Ben Roethlisberger to throw for 300 yards. Last time a high-powered offense, which was the Arizona Cardinals, came in there, Carson Palmer absolutely torched that defense of the Seattle Seahawks. I like the options that Ben Roethlisberger has. I see him throwing for close to 300 yards and a couple touchdowns. Those touchdowns may not come to Antonio Brown, but I think he's going to rack up catches and yardage. You got to play Antonio. There's no two way about it. Martavius Bryant may be the one that takes the visit into the end zone. And people, for those who don't know, Seattle is one of the worst teams in defending against the tight end position. That's their weakness. So Heath Miller, if he's sitting on the waiver wire, this is the one time, or sitting on your bench, this is the one time, one of many times, I should say, that you play Heath Miller, because I do believe he's going to be effective in here. 30th. I'm talking about this Legion of Boom. This bona fide defense is 30th against preventing fantasy points in a tight end position. We're going to go into overtime. We got a couple of games. Hang with me, and then we'll be out of here and have you join your weekend. Hang with me. We're in overtime now. All right. You got to play Heath Miller. No two ways about it. Most tight ends that have played Seattle have prospered and against this with this quarterback who likes throwing to the tight end, who knows how to get the ball to the tight end against a defense that their biggest weakness is defending against a tight end. It's a no-brainer in my opinion. But I like Martavius Bryant as a wide receiver too, maybe three, somewhere around there. Big play wide receiver. But Antonio Brown, scat back, and lack of a better term, scat back type wide receivers give the long, lanky DBs of Seattle fits. So scat back wide receivers like Antonio Brown should be able to prosper against the Legion of Boom. On the other side of the ball, I like Thomas Rawls. I know this defense of Pittsburgh is one of the better defense in preventing fantasy points, number two to be exact, against the running back position. But this guy's been balling out, and I expect This is a run-based defense. So the ball is going to get to the running back one way or the other, whether it's handing off to him or throwing a dump-off pass to the running back so he can do his thing. Thomas Rawls is going to be the guy. He's going to get all the volume in running the football. And I'm saying to you, play Thomas Rawls. He's going to be the man. Marshawn Lynch is not going to be playing for the rest of the regular season. And maybe you won't see him in the playoffs. And maybe Seattle doesn't even get to the playoffs. That's a strong possibility. Both these teams need this win extremely, extremely badly. Both these teams need this win very badly. And they're going to be doing everything they can possibly win to win this game. Now, who gets the majority? I'm telling you right like this. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 28th, 25th, 22nd. And I'll go in reverse order. 22nd against the quarterback, 23rd against the wide receiver, and 28th against the tight end position. They can be thrown on. Their strongest suit is preventing the run. Their weakest suit is preventing points against the passing offense. So I know that the Seattle Seahawks are going to want to run the football, but Jimmy Graham is probably a extremely – both tight ends, let me put it this way. Jimmy Graham and Heath Miller got to be played today. Got to be played today because both these defenses, Pittsburgh and Seattle, don't play the tight end well. Even though that Seattle plays the passing game well, the weapons that the Steelers have, you got to play them. And the weapons that the Seattle Seahawks have is a toss of a coin. I know Doug Baldwin recently have been doing well with Russell Wilson, but you can't discount Tyler Lockett. He's a big play wide receiver. He's a boom or bust type of wide receiver. If you have no other options, hopefully you do. Otherwise, you're shooting for the fences, and maybe you need to if you're trying to get a playoff spot, because this is a good opportunity to shoot for the fences against a defense that is weak against the pass. All right, let's move on to the next to last game of the week. It's going to be 24, mid-20s, and snow. We're talking about in Denver against Brock Osweiler and the depleted Patriots, whether it's on the offensive line or it's in the passing game. This is a very interesting matchup in reality and in fantasy. You have to think, now, do you bench Tom Brady? Well, let me put it this way. This is the number one defense, the number one rated defense against the quarterback, against the wide receiver. What does Tom Brady and the New England Patriots do well? They pass the football. They're not really a run-based defense. I mean, offense, they pass the football. Well, Tom Brady has lost Danny Amendola, who didn't make the trip, Julian Edelman, who's not there, Deion Lewis, who was involved in the passing game. Those are three big options. Who do he have? He has Brandon LaFell, Aaron Dobson, and Ron Gronkowski against the number one rated defense in Denver, basically inclement weather. So I would say you temper your expectations. Gronkowski is going to be a volume play here. He's going to get a lot of targets equal opportunities. So I'm saying he gets 6 or 7 catches. 50 to 60 yards, somewhere around that, maybe 70 yards. And he's going to get you double-digit points. You may not get typical Gronk-type points, but average double-digit points for a tight end against this defense that are going to be keying on him as the number one option. James White, quite naturally, catching the ball out of the backfield, taking the place of Deion Lewis, may be a big key in here. Garrett Blunt, they're going to try to run the football, but you got to temper your expectations of Tom Brady. I don't think he's going to have a big day today. I think he's going to rely on his running game for the most part, and short passes because of that Denver rush, getting the ball out of its hand quickly. So that means the running backs and the tight ends are going to be used extensively for the New England Patriots. With that being said, let's talk about the Denver Broncos playing at home. Second start for Brock Osweiler. He may not throw for a high amount of yardage, but I think he throws for a couple touchdowns in here. Reasons I'm saying that is even though New England is 15th in preventing fantasy points against the quarterback position, fifth in doing the same thing against the running back position, they're 23rd in preventing points against the wide receiver position. And guess what? You got Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders that I think are going to be balling out here, especially Demaryius Thomas, who Brock Osweiler is going to target early and often. I see him getting five or six catches, 60 to 70 yards, and a nice visit into the end zone. I see Owen Daniels, even though New England is top 10 preventing fantasy points against the tight end position, is that Owen Daniels and Vernon Davis are going to rack up some fantasy points, double digits. I'm calling for both these guys double-digit fantasy points. So if you have Owen Daniels, you're looking for a tight end, Vernon Davis is still sitting out there, put him in your lineup this week. I think he gets you double-digit fantasy points from the tight end position, which is always good. I still think Ronnie Hillman, because this is run-based defense, this is Gary Kubiak type of defense. They want to be able to run the football, establish that, and then play action down the field with their options in the passing game. So I like Ronnie Hillman in this also. With that being said, let's move on to the last but not least matchup. This is really? Really, yes, really. Mid-40s, mostly cloudy. We're talking about the Baltimore, the injury-ridden Baltimore Ravens, who lost their wide receiver, lost their main running back, and lost their quarterback in several weeks, that they're going up against the Cleveland Browns, who just thought they had a starting quarterback. Now, he lied to his head coach. He partying and did all kinds of stupid things. Now he's number three, and I'm talking about Johnny Manziel, and we're going back to Josh McGowan. They're playing division rivals on Monday Night Football. And the last time the Cleveland Browns met the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, Josh McGowan threw for over 150 yards. Baltimore is one of the worst teams, if not the worst team, preventing fantasy points from the wide receiver position. And from the quarterback position. So in the passing game, especially you have to do with wide receivers, Baltimore can be slammed hard and often. So what am I saying here? Travis Benjamin, Duke Johnson, and Gary Barnidge should be extremely viable plays in here. Okay, I really like Gary Barnidge. His best numbers have come from Josh McGowan at the quarterback. Travis Benjamin is a volume guy, six or seven catches, 80 and 90 yards, maybe not a visit into the end zone. And Josh McGowan likes throwing passes to Duke Johnson, whether they spread him out or have him sitting out in the backfield and throwing dump-off passes to him. He's very reliable in the passing game. So if you need any of those options and they're sitting out there, they shouldn't be. There's no way these guys should be sitting out. Barnage and Travis Benjamin, no way they should be sitting out there, and that's including Duke Johnson. Feel comfortable about putting those guys in today. They're playing at home against a division rival that's very bad in the passing game. It's a no-brainer to me. On the other side, Justin Forsett is gone. Gone for the year. It's the Javarius Allen day today. and for the foreseeable future. And Cleveland is one of the worst teams, 28th in preventing fantasy points against the running back position, 30th in quarterback, and 29th in a wide receiver position, and 21st in a tight end. They have a viable tight end in Crockett Gilmore. Matt Schaub is the quarterback, Mr. Pick Six himself. So what's safe for Matt Schaub? Throwing to the running back, throwing to the tight end. So I expect the running back to be able to run the football and also catch it out of the backfield. I also expect the tight end to be targeted a lot. Safe throws. I expect the tight end to be targeted a lot. And the number one receiver, because Steve Smith is not there, is Kamar Aiken. And I'm really not a fan of Kamar Aiken. And I don't expect him to be really that effective. I like Crockett Gilmore and Javoris Allen to be the main targets and the main players in this game for Baltimore. All right, with that being said, I want to thank you for joining me. Hopefully you've gained some insight into what you need this week to gain a win, to get you one step closer to either being in the playoffs already, making a move closer to getting in the playoffs, or trying to maneuver a trade, a last-second trade for those teams that, for those leagues that the trade deadline is this up-and-coming Wednesday. Keep trying. Regardless if you're in the playoffs or not, it makes a difference because you can always play spoiler. Make a difference in who gets in and who gets out of the playoffs. So keep trying. Make it your mission that whether if you're not in the playoffs and you can stop someone from getting in the playoffs, you can play spoiler or you can secure your position in the playoffs and have a shot for that championship that you look forward to. I'm out. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games. See you next week.
Gotta get that. 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 Gotta get that.